I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to the Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. Gary Trust, Billboard's co-director of charts.
And hey guys, it's Trevor Anderson, a chart manager here at Billboard.
Continuing our American Idol spotlight we did last week. We started our countdown of the 40 biggest songs by American Idol contestants. We went 40 to 21 last week. We spoke with Scotty McCreery, a winner in 2011. So we're back this week looking at the biggest hits by Idol artists based on our formula that ranks chart performance on the Hot 100. So 20 to 1 this week. We're also going to have some guests. Fred Bronson is coming up, who wrote Billboard's Chartbeat column from 1993 to 2009 and has contributed to Idol over the years. He's been on the podcast before talking about Idol and other things. So he's coming up with a review of the first couple episodes now that Idol is back for its 16th its comeback season on ABC. So we'll talk new Idol. We'll talk about what's coming up this season on Idol with Fred. We're going to hear from a couple of the new judges, Lionel Richie and Luke Bryan. They've both been on the podcast before, so we're going to revisit that. Look at us, Trevor. We had them on the podcast.
Yeah, maybe a little bit before they signed the contracts for this new gig, but there are still plenty of things and insights.
And original Idol champ Kelly Clarkson, she's coming up too. She was on the podcast last year, so we'll have a little clip from that, her remembering Idol from the very beginning. So that's all on the way. Numbers 20 to 1, the biggest American Idol hits. Last week, we didn't ignore the weekly Billboard Hot 100, so let's not do that this week either, Trevor. I mean, we start a little timer and do a quick recap of this week's Billboard Hot 100.
So, yeah, let's take a quick trip over to this week's Hot 100. Once again, it is Drake's God's Plan that makes it 7 weeks in a row. And all 7 of those weeks coming from when he debuted at number 1 7 weeks ago. So, since Drake has marched up there, he has not left the spot yet. And as we've talked several times on this podcast, we'll keep going with it. It's streaming once again that is doing most of the heavy lifting for the song. We're talking at this point 81.8 million streams for the past week. And so as we keep marching ahead with Drake and these streaming numbers seemingly are not going anywhere in the near future, at this point, 7 of the top 10 streaming weeks that we've recorded for any song here at Billboard belong to God's Plan. So, I mean, again, with nothing quite in sight, we've got some things settling down in the rest of the top 5. It looks like without some new life into a new song, maybe a new release by a major artist, that Drake could be holding down the top spot for many weeks to come.
Yeah, I think the movement we could see going forward is meant to be by Bebe Rexha and Florida Georgia Line. It could, right now it kind of looks like it could challenge for number 2 at some point, but the gap between number 1 and everything else is just so great at the moment. But maybe we'll see that keep climbing as it goes to the top 5 this week. But yeah, those streams for God's Plan look locked into number 1 going forward for the next who knows how long.
And one song that at the top of the year people really felt had Hot 100 number 1 stamped all over it was Bruno Mars and Cardi B's Finesse. The song at number 3 this week on the Hot 100, but it does take over on radio songs, hitting number 1 there for the first time. With that move, that is going to move Bruno Mars past Usher for the most radio songs number 1s ever by a male artist. asterisk out there for a lot of the major pop fans. So this chart actually began in 1990. So if you're wondering why, you know, an Elvis or a Michael Jackson or somebody wouldn't have that record, we're just talking 90s to the present. So a little past Michael's heyday, who obviously would have been a huge challenger for that.
And 1990, a year that that song would have totally fit in with the sound of Belle Biv DeVoe and other New Jack Swings. Sounds like it's right out of that year.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, it could have been a number one back in 92 or 2018. And one last note, we have a new top 10 this week coming in at number 8, The Middle by Zedd, Maren Morris, and Gray for the first time in this countdown. The song number 8 this week. Since we saw the song debuted back at the Grammy Awards at the end of January, we've seen some incremental gains kind of steadily marching its way up into the top 10. And some people had their eye on this song as well. A change of pace for Maren Morris, who obviously is a pretty core country artist, but a nice collaboration for them. Also, the first top 10 on the Hot 100 for Maren Morris and Gray. Zedd, really, in some ways, a vet at this point in the past couple of years. This is his fourth Hot 100 top 10, all of those through collaborations with various artists, including Alessia Cara, Ariana Grande, Foxes way back when. So another team up gets him another top 10.
I think my favorite stat about this is we mentioned Meant to Be, number 5. So Florida Georgia Line is in the top 10, and now Maren Morris is in the top 10. So that's two core country acts in the top 10 together on the Hot 100 on two different songs. That hasn't happened for 17 years, just about. Back in 2000, May, it was Faith Hill Breathe and Lone Star Amazed. So as much as we're seeing all these huge streaming numbers for hip-hop songs, and seems like that's the dominant genre, it really has been for the last year or so, to be able to see two country acts in the top 10 at the same time shows that still room for variety, and very cool for those acts. And Maren Morris, as you said, Trevor, getting her first Hot 100 top 10. All right, that's it for 2018. Let's go back. American Idol, the past 16 years now. 2002 is when it started. So let's continue on our countdown of American Idol, the top 20 hits by Idol finalists over the years. Familiar voice kicking us off at number 20 as we go through number 16 to get us started. Numbers 20 through 16 in our countdown of the 40 biggest Billboard Hot 100 hits by American Idol artists. Those five there, Kelly Clarkson all over that, starting at number 20 with Walk Away. That was the fifth single from her second album, Breakaway. It's almost the fifth, the top 10 from the set. Got to number 12 in April 2006. But even to be talking about number 12 for a fifth single, that's pretty impressive. A lot of albums don't even have five singles. So to get a top 15 hit out of that, kind of like a couple years ago, Ariana Grande, One Last Time, was a number 13 hit as a fifth single. So it can happen when an album is that good and an artist is that big momentum-wise. So Kelly, Walk Away. Kelly again at number 19. Different sound for Already Gone. That was the second single from her fourth album, All I Ever Wanted, number 13 Hot 100 hit in December 2009. 8 week number one on Adult Pop Songs, which is tied for her longest run at number one on that chart with Stronger, which we'll hear and talk about coming up later. Trevor, we can't talk about Already Gone without talking about the song Halo, right?
No, you can't, because this song generating a pretty strong amount of controversy, released relatively in the same window, about 6 months or so, as Beyonce's Halo, and especially in the days of YouTube and social media starting to take off, plenty of fans on both on the Kelly Clarkson side and in the Beehive noticed the arrangements very similar. You know, you could almost overlay both of the songs and they would work out, same kind of pattern strings. Both songs written by Ryan Tedder, so people were pointing the finger at him and saying, you know, how are you just going to recycle somebody's song and give it to somebody else? And he got a lot of heat for that.
Stings the Beehive?
It does, and I guess it almost stings the Kelly Clarkson fans more, because Halo came out first.
Well, Halo was a top five hit in May 2009. This was a hit in December when it peaked. Kelly didn't want this song to be a single because it was so similar. She kind of thought it would be best to avoid it. She kind of went into all back and forth with Ryan Tedder about it. He defended it, saying that they are different. So ultimately, she ceded to what the label wanted. It turned out to be a hit. So if nothing else, I'm sure overall music fans, a lot of them probably love both songs, and it's something more that affects people inside.
Yeah, and you know, as they always say, you know, all press is even bad press is good press.
Number 18 on the countdown, Inside Your Heaven, Carrie Underwood's Coronation Song. Interesting about this, this song debuted at number one on the Hot 100 on July 2nd, 2005. The next week, Bo Bice's version debuted at number two, and Carrie's was at number three. So they were both in the top five together, because back then the finalists would record the Coronation Song not knowing who would win. So they both wound up getting released, both wound up being big Hot 100 hits. And Fred Bronson, who again is going to be our guest coming up, who was writing the Billboard Chartbeat column at the time, he made a really interesting note in the Billboard issue when Bo Bice's version debuted. It was July 9th, 2005. He noted how that was exactly 50 years to the day after the first rock and roll song hit number one. It was on the bestsellers in the stores chart. It was dated July 9th, 1955. We're going to Rock Around the Clock by Bill Haley and his Comets. So not comparing Bill Haley and Bo Bice, but interesting how Bo Bice was one of the idol rockers, and song debuted exactly 50 years after the song that kicked off the rock era. Number 17 on the countdown, third place finisher in Idol's fifth season in 2006, Elliot Yameen and Wait For You. Number 13 hit on the Hot 100 in 2007. It was written and produced by the production writing Stargate team. We're going to talk about them coming up more, because they've got some Idol history. So we'll get more into that. And I'm going to call this a ballad sandwich, these five songs, because we had three ballads in the middle, surrounded by two up-tempo, Kelly's the Bread in this. You following this, Trevor?
Unfortunately.
So her second hit and the lead single from her first album, Thankful, is number nine Hot 100 hit in summer 2003. Huge hit on Top 40 Radio. Is a six-week number one on the Pop Songs Airplay chart. And maybe most key of all is that it showed that she was not a one-hit wonder. After a moment like this, she legitimately was an artist for pop radio. She had staying power, and I guess in some ways, Idol had staying power. So pretty important song overall, because it just moved Idol into a second phase where it wasn't just the Coronation Song. You could have success after that. All right, before we continue the countdown, how about Lionel Richie makes a quick appearance here on the podcast. One of the judges, new to Idol this season, now that it's back on ABC. So Trevor, you had a really long conversation with Lionel a couple years ago. You guys are buddies now.
I don't know if I would say that. But it was really nice to talk to him. I mean, really nice guy, obviously such a legend in the industry. You know, just not only as a performer, but songwriter, producer, working with so many other artists and even outside sort of his core genre. So, I mean, really an all around great guy. Hopefully people saw the end of last year, he got his Kennedy Center honors, well-deserved. So just solidifying once again, you know, how important he is and what an icon he is to music history.
Yeah, it's what he talked about here when you talked with him. Here's just a quick clip of him saying something that's really, I would think, the goal of any artist on Idol. It might start with you walk in for that audition, but it could turn into generations of fans enjoying your music.
I think what makes it so gratifying is the fact that, you know, the difference when you start out in the business, all you want is a record to play on the radio. You don't care how long it plays because you're not really into that. Mm-hmm. And then you learn something very amazing, and that is the real magic is that not only did it get on the radio, it never left the radio. And I'm now into three generations of people in my audience now who were talking about a song I did with Diana Ross years ago. So when you say I have the original, I walk out on my stage and I always say this. I said, we used to have two people in the audience. The first group started out with the Commodores. The second group started out with All Night Long, Endless Love, and Hello. Mm-hmm. I said, but now we have a third group in the audience. And that third group is called My Mama and Daddy Played All Your Music When I Was Growing Up. So. And that's where we are now. And I think that's the test of time for me. As far as I'm concerned, that's when it really gets good.
Lionel Richie on the Billboard Sharpie podcast. We'll hear from Luke Bryan, one of the other new Idol judges coming up as well. Kelly Clarkson's on the way, Fred Bronson to talk about Idol. So all coming up as we continue here our countdown of the top 20 this week hits on the Hot 100 by American Idol contestants. Let's continue at number 15.
Here's 1 million one. Girl, this is my sorry for 2004. And I ain't gonna mess them no more this year. I'ma take this one chance and make it real clear. I'm sorry, and I'm sorry, sorry, in case I don't tell you.
August, September, October, November.
Tell you December, I'm sorry.
Numbers 15 through 11, counting down the top 40 hits by American Idol graduates here on the Hot 100. Coming in number 15, you guys just heard Sorry 2004 by Ruben Studdard, who was the season 2 winner. You know, this song is a kind of a funny song. I feel like if you grew up with it, because it's obviously so dated, the song. I mean, literally, Sorry 2004. 2004 is in the title. So, I mean, and it's in the lyrics, so it's something you can't, you guess you really couldn't play in 2005. But the song is Ruben's first single from his first album after he won. The album was called Soulful, and a big urban radio hit, definitely hitting number one on the adult R&B chart, number two overall on the hot R&B hip-hop songs chart, and even crept into the top 10 on the Hot 100 at number nine. So, you know, kind of a funny song. I think that a song, I guess, because it's maybe so dated that you can't play it after a while, that people sort of have forgotten about, but they all knew about it in that time.
You could have remade it every year and just updated.
I mean, missed opportunity. I guess that's probably a marketing plan idea that was left on the drawing room floor. I don't think we want to hear it. Sorry 2008, 2009, 2010. How many times can you be sorry?
You could record a whole, you could record 100 of them and have it set every year. I don't have to worry about it. I could do 1,000 verses. The song could just live on forever.
Maybe it's in his time capsule. Maybe there's a Spotify playlist out there. It's like Trapped in the Closet, R. Kelly. Just every new chapter, every time you look. All right, moving on. Number 14, right above Ruben Studdard, Clay Aiken bringing home This Is the Night, ranking at number 14 on our countdown here. And I guess if you want to sort of flashback to when this song was number one back in 2003, debuting there, Clay was right on top of Ruben, who had debuted that week at number two with Flying Without Wings. So kind of a little deja vu that Clay is on top of Ruben, even though Clay is the runner-up on season two, Ruben the winner. But on the Hot 100, Clay was definitely the winner. Like we said, debuting at number one. Kind of an interesting time if you flash back to when Clay debuted at number one. This was a Hot 100 number one hit in between. So it knocked out 21 Questions by 50 Cent, which just, I mean, obviously, you know, with Nate Dogg, just obviously a very hip-hop, New York-driven song. The song that comes up to knock out Clay Aiken is Crazy in Love by Beyonce and Jay-Z. So yeah, the fact that this sort of, you know, middle-of-the-roady kind of Clay Aiken ballad gets in between two monster, you know, I mean, hip-hop, urban R&B tracks is just, I mean, what a time. What a time Clay Aiken was walking into.
Other than it being the coronation song for an idol, which was really all the muscle you needed at that point, the songwriter of that song is Gary Burr, who's written around 20 top 10 country hits since the 80s. He's written hits for Garth Brooks, Winona, Leanne Rimes. So on top of just it being the winning idol song, it's also written by someone with tons of success on his own as a writer.
I can feel that. If you found that, I feel like you like him.
Plus his name's Gary.
Clay Aiken's not just done yet. He actually gets another top 10 on the Hot 100 in about 9 months after This Is the Night debuts. The song Solitaire debuts at number four. Only has 1 week in the top 10, but just goes to show, you know, that Clay's sort of impact is still out there enough for people go out to buy a brand new song from him 9 months afterwards. So shout out to Clay there. His singing career ended up a little bit better than his political career, but still time. All right, moving on. Number 13, we have the song Home that you guys just heard by Daughtry, which is the band formed by Chris Daughtry. And this song hits number five on the Hot 100 in summer of 2007. Actually, the second top five hit in a row for the band. The song It's Not Over had gotten to number four just before this one came out. And this one kind of has an interesting Idol tie-in. Obviously, Daughtry is a finalist on the show American Idol, but I guess in sort of an inter-house promo play, if you remember, for a couple, I think at least one season, maybe a couple seasons,
right,
this actually was the send-off song that was played when someone was eliminated, which always to me felt a little on the nose, a little too close to home. I mean, the song lyrics and the hook are, you know, I'm going home to the place where I belong, you know, the place I come from. So Men is sort of like an inspirational kind of return to home, right. But with the lyrics, I'm going home, always felt a little like, yes, you are. You're out. You're done. You're going home.
Better that than the Hit the Road, Jack, or something like that.
Maybe Raise the State wouldn't have cleared the lyrics. You're right. But in any case, I mean, a massive hit on radio. 10 weeks at number one on the adult top 40 chart, and 11 weeks at number one on the adult contemporary chart. And, you know, even though Daughtry has always kind of had that adult fan base there, I think one interesting chart that the people would not have expected this song to do well on is the Christian songs chart. Actually, a number 12 hit on Hot Christian Songs that year. So I guess, you know, if you look into the lyrics, Going Home, The Place Where You Belong, you can find a religious sort of connection there. I don't think it was written with that in mind, but I mean, how great, you know, for Chris Daughtry to have a song that audience can latch onto and send up the charts.
Yeah, we talk about how Idol, it's so family friendly. It's so sort of geared to that family audience. There's a lot of idols who've had success on the Christian charts as well. We've seen a lot of country chart success. Carrie Underwood has had some Christian chart success as well. So yeah, it's not surprising that some of these songs would fit that feel for Christian radio.
And right above Chris Daughtry at number 12 on our countdown, we have Jordan Sparks, the song Tattoo. Number 8 hit on the Hot 100 back right at the end of 2007. Her first top 10 hit of her entire career. This song hitting the top 10 was sort of a redemption of sorts. So season 6 kind of has this weird distinction of being the first time that the coronation single, Nobody's Coronation single, went to number 1 on the Hot 100.
Yeah.
Her song, This Is My Now, peaking at number 15. So actually it missed the top 10 entirely. So I'm sure the producers were thrown for a loop, and that was kind of a jolt there. The week that people would have expected the song to go to number 1 traditionally, you know, looking back at 2007, that was the week Umbrella by Rihanna hit number 1. You've got Party Like a Rockstar by the Shop Boys at number 2. So it seems to be a changing of the guard in terms of what, you know, definitively what sound is going to be popular going forward, and even some of these pop singles can't quite sneak in there.
That was also when YouTube was starting, right, and really gaining in prominence around 2007.
Yeah, I mean, YouTube had been around for a couple of years, but I guess sort of in the same way, you know, Facebook was around. It takes a couple of years for these things to get off the ground and they start to blow up. That's also, you know, and iTunes is really cementing its hold on digital singles. I mean, the reason Umbrella went to number 1 that week, it shot up the chart because it went on sale for the first time. So that's sort of a changing of the guard. Luckily, with Tattoo, Jordan able to prove that she is a hit maker, getting into the top 10. And coming up later, towards the end of the countdown, we'll see how she actually, I think, has one of the smartest idol plays in really integrating her sound with one of the hit makers of the moment and getting a massive hit out of that.
Well, we were talking about Stargate before, co-wrote and produced Elliot Yamin's Wait For You. They did this song as well, Tattoo. And it, you hear this song, that production, it totally takes me back to that mid to late 2000s production sound when Stargate was doing so many songs that kind of had that sort of acoustic R&B light stutter step kind of vibe. Irreplaceable by Beyonce, they did that. With You, Chris Brown. Crush by David Archuleta. So they've actually updated their sound as well, not to make it seem like that's the only sound they could do. They did Worth It by Fifth Harmony, Same Old Love, Selena Gomez, Him for the Weekend, Coldplay, and Beyonce as well. So great history for them. But yeah, around that time, 2007, that's pretty much the sound you were going to hear from them.
Yeah. All right, and bringing us to the threshold of the top 10, we've got number 11, the song that started it all. It was A Moment Like This by Kelly Clarkson back in October 2002. The song had debuted at number 52 on the Hot 100. That next week, the song shoots up to number 1 on the Hot 100. Actually breaks the record for the biggest jump to number 1 by any song at that point in the Hot 100's history. The Beatles had that record back in 1964. So this just goes to prove, you know, Kelly Clarkson already, her first time on the Hot 100, breaking records. Now, Kelly would actually lose that record to Maroon 5 a few years later, 2007. But reclaimed it once again. She got what was rightfully hers. We'll talk about that song that broke that record once again for Kelly Clarkson coming up. But yeah, I mean, number 11, the song that really kicked off the whole franchise.
All right, let's talk about Idol now. It's back on ABC. It just premiered Sunday night. It was on again Monday, a couple hours each. So Idol is back after a two-year break, after its first 15 seasons on Fox. It's back on ABC. It feels pretty similar to what it always has been. So let's talk about the new season with a person who has written about Idol so much over the years, written about chart records for Idol contestants on Billboard charts, and also been on the show. Fred is here to talk about what he thinks of the new season so far, the new judges, some of the new contestants who could maybe be this year's American Idol. Fred Bronson is here on the Billboard Sharpie Podcast. Fred Bronson, thanks so much for coming back on the Billboard Sharpie Podcast.
I'm always glad.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Good to be here. Gary, Trevor, good to talk to you guys again.
So this is your specialty, Fred Idol. Let's just get into it. What do you think so far, the new season here on ABC?
Well, you know, everybody asked me, are you excited Idol is coming back? And I said, well, it isn't quite the right word, but I'm very happy it's back. And now that I've seen the first two shows, I'm very happy it's back. I really think they're doing a great job. I'm happy with the judging panel. I think they're terrific. And the talent I've seen so far, there's some outstanding, you know, kids.
So you weren't that excited?
I knew it was going to come back because Simon Solar told Billboard exclusively, before Ryan said goodnight for now, Simon Solar told me, we'll be back in 1 or 2 years. He had the whole plan. And so I just knew all along it was coming back. So it wasn't that I wasn't thrilled, but excited didn't quite capture my emotion. It was more just, yeah, I'm really happy it's back.
All right, so let's start with the judges panel. What do you think of each member so far? To me, I think they're all great. I feel like Katy Perry is sort of being positioned as the star of the three of them, the biggest personality, and I think she's really fun so far.
I agree, and I think all three of them are doing a great job. You know, I have loved different judging panels over the years. I definitely love the original, you know, Simon, Paul, and Randy. I thought they were great. I thought, you know, when J-Lo came on, she did a great job. And I thought that final panel of J-Lo and Harry and Keith were terrific. So these three had a lot to live up to. And they're doing the job. I mean, you know, Lionel, I don't think you can get a better judge than Lionel Richie. And Katy giving great comments and funny, and they're all kind of funny, you know, in a good way, humorous, not funny, odd. And Luke's hanging in there too. So I honestly, I noticed, you know, I did an interview with the three of them about, oh gosh, a month and a half ago, that ran on billboard.com. And I could tell then, because they did it together, all three together. I could see the chemistry as they were walking down the press line, and when they were talking with me, it was pretty obvious that they had already gelled. It was during the LA auditions, and I think it shows on the air too.
I feel like it's the most fun, feel good judges panel I think we've had so far. Obviously, there's doesn't seem to be the bad guy like Simon Cowell. It all feels very, very upbeat and encouraging. It just feels. It was like a safe space all around.
But do you think that that's necessary? You know, a lot of people may be lamenting that there's no Simon. And obviously people, you know, cringe when they think of Simon or know he says mean things. But you have to admit it made for really good television.
Right.
And I wonder if, you know, if everybody getting along all the time, if that kind of, you know, leaves that element out that people kind of want.
Well, I'll tell you my answer, but I'm going to tell you quickly first why there was a Simon. So you know that American Idol came out of Pop Idol in the UK. And before Pop Idol, there was Pop Stars, which we also had a version of. But Pop Stars was much huger in the UK. They wanted Simon Cowell to be a judge on Pop Stars. And at the last minute, he turned it down. He wasn't known at all outside of, you know, the industry at that time. He wasn't like a famous person, but they thought he would be a good judge. And when he turned it down, they the producer, Nigel Lithgow, became a judge, and he was the nasty judge. Because he had seen that on Pop Stars in Australia, and that's why he wanted to do Pop Stars, because he liked the nasty judge. And he was so nasty, they actually in the press called him Nasty Nigel. Then Nigel got hired to do American Idol, Pop Idol in the UK, produced that before he came over here to produce. And he got Simon Cowell to be a judge, and he wanted Simon to be the nasty Nigel of Pop Idol. So that's how that nasty judge was created in the first place. Because Simon isn't really a nasty person.
No.
That was a big exaggeration of his personality, but it worked, and it was a great TV show because of Simon, and a lot of people stopped watching when he left. I mean, after the first 9 seasons. But once they had J-Lo and they didn't have a nasty judge on the show, and by the way, they had a nasty judge in every country because of Simon Cowell's role, because it was so successful. They never did an Idol without a nasty judge or a mean judge until J-Lo and you know, Randy and Steven that in season 10. And they took a chance that it was going to work. The times had changed. We were living, you know, it was years later after Idol had debuted. And it worked. And they realized we can do Idol without a nasty judge. And now I think there's even more emphasis on civility. We're living in tough times. There is a lot of nastiness out there. And I think Idol has gone the other direction, and it's worked. So I know there are people who still say, you know, I'm not going to watch it because Simon Cowell isn't on, but I think it's working.
I do have to say, you know, breaking it to current times, Nasty Nigel sounds like a great nickname that will be in a Donald Trump tweet one day.
Probably. Let's not tell him. Poor Nigel. Yeah. We don't want him being in Trump's tweets.
One thing I thought was interesting in the first episode, Fred, was very early on, Luke Bryan, one of the voiceovers, saying it's not about what Lionel and Katie and I are doing. This is about the contestants. I thought that was kind of a subtle, maybe not so subtle, dig at The Voice, which seems to be so much about the judges panel. And there's been a lot about who these new judges are on Idol, but it seemed like that was a statement. We're coming back the same as we've always been on Idol. This isn't about the judges. This is about the stars that we want to make American Idols.
Well, I totally agree that it was a dig at The Voice. And you know, look, both shows have their followers and both shows have their pros and maybe their cons, but it's the reason, I mean, and Luke was right, by the way, I've always said that the success of Idol depends on who they cast in, you know, as your top 14 or your top 10 or whatever it is that year. That's going to make or break Idol. And if they have years where the kids aren't great, say goodbye to Idol. I don't think that's why it actually went off the air, but I feel like American Idol has made stars. People can tell you who came in seventh on one season. But for The Voice, if you ask people to name contestants on The Voice, it's very difficult. Some people can't name anybody. You know, some people can name one or two, but for whatever reasons, and I think it is because the emphasis in The Voice is on the coaches, they have really not made a lot of stars. And Idol has made a lot of stars. Some are superstars, some are stars, but you know these kids, you know their names. Even after 16 years, people are still talking about Ruben and Clay, and of course Kelly and Carrie, Jennifer Hudson, Adam Lambert. I could go on and on. But if you just even mention someone who came in 10th to people, they go, oh, I remember that person. But not so on The Voice.
Yeah, and longevity, too. There's a girl who auditioned, I think, in the second episode, who was born in 2002. It's the year Idol started. So we're now at the point where there are people who, their whole life, they've been born into a world where American Idol was always around.
Exactly. I remember thinking that this was a couple, you know, a few years ago, because there are shows where they would do their birth year song. And I remember when we got to the point, they said, uh-oh, Wannabe by the Spice Girls is now a birth year song on American Idol. Now, that's already a few years ago, obviously. But now if they sing birth year songs, they're going to be like, oh my God, that song was yesterday.
Yeah, you have kids up there doing Crazy in Love or, you know, Rihanna's Umbrella or something. Yeah. And yeah, there we go.
Right, it's a birth year song. How does that make you feel?
Speaking of these young kids, Fred, who stands out two episodes in so far as some of the contestants that you think could go pretty far this season?
Well, I wish I could remember all the names. There was a young girl named Harper, and I thought she was terrific. I thought the guy was a little heavy set. He was a farm boy and had a fresh face, but he didn't sing at all like he looked, which is sort of the Clay Aiken effect. And I don't mean he looks like Clay or acts like Clay, but he sat at the piano and just had this incredible performance that didn't seem anything like his own personality. I thought he was great. There was the crooner who reminds me of John Stevens, who did The Way You Look Tonight. That was also a surprise. There were some more females, some more, you know, young girls who were great.
The one who stood out to me, just because something we haven't really seen on Idol, was a girl named Michelle Sussett, the Latin music singer who had dancing. Katie was attempting to do Latin dancing. Luke and Lionel were actually really good. She just seemed fun. It just hit me that, wow, maybe at this point in 2002, we probably wouldn't have had a Latin music artist on Idol. But now, after Despacito and just globalization of music, seems perfect for America.
Yes, in fact, when she was singing, I was thinking Havana.
Yeah, right.
That would have been a good song for her. She was a standout as well. There have been a lot, actually. Like I say, you know, once I sit down with them, Billboard's going to get the first interview with the top 14. And that's when I just go over to the studio and sit there in a room. And it kind of takes all day, but they bring them in and I get, you know, about 15, 20 minutes with each one. Then I really get to know them. So that'll happen.
Do you think, I guess, kind of to that point that... And obviously, we're only two episodes in, so there's still a long way to go for the rest of the season. But when it comes to the winner and trying to make this person, you know, marketable in the overall scheme of music, I mean, do you have any worry or hope about where Idol might go? Just we know that, you know, singing in a way is not necessarily in right now. I mean, obviously rap music is really big. I mean, there's so much emphasis on production and sound that we haven't had, you know, a huge amount of vocal talent coming out in the past couple of years. And do you think that, how does Idols sort of avoid that pitfall that they've been in the past couple of years where they have great singers and great performers and talents, but they have not been able to make that gap in an era where that style just isn't what's popping?
Well, it's interesting. It's a good question. Of course, you know, if we get a country winner, and I don't know that we will, but that's one possibility. I mean, Scotty McCreery just had his number one song. It was 5 more minutes. Obviously, Carrie has done exceptionally well. Lauren Elena had a number one, you know, within the last few months, I guess last year now. So that's one way they could go. If that happens, if that's who America votes for, you know, it could be an R&B singer. It could, it's hard to say. It could be a pop singer. I mean, I think, you know, we still have room for pop singers on the charts, you know. Maybe they're not doing quite as well as they were doing in the last few years, but they're still there. So that's certainly a possibility. You know, we did have some idols who just didn't do well on radio. I thought Caleb was a terrific rocker, but I knew when he won, he's not a top 40 guy, you know, and probably wasn't going to get played on the radio, and he didn't. So it's hard to say. And then, you know, there were other reasons. Candice Glover's album, you know, came out like a year later. Nick Frattiani's album came out a year later. I don't think you can do that. I think you have to get product out there a lot quicker after they're on the show. However, you have to do that.
Well, that might.
So I think there's a lot of reasons. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was saying that actually might be, I guess, maybe a benefit of, you know, the streaming Spotify world is that, I mean, we've seen a lot of artists, you know, been able to pump singles out once a month and it doesn't feel, you know, like an oversaturation or overcompensating. So you're right. Instead of maybe just waiting a year for the debut album, maybe if they can just, you know, tease a couple of those singles once every 6-7 weeks, keep their name hot until the album comes out, that might be a way they actually can benefit from the new climate.
Exactly. You know, remember in the very early days when there were still physical CD singles, and they had those winter singles out, and you know, as you know, the first let me think, 4 or 5 seasons, they all went to number one immediately and sold a lot of copies. So I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's a different landscape now. When Idol started, when it was in its heyday, it was really the only show. Now it's, as we've said, up against The Voice and just so many other reality shows. It's a different world than it was when it started, but nothing else. It feels the same. It's got that feel-good vibe. It's a sense of humor in places. It's comfort food. It feels like it's back. It kind of feels like it never left now that it's back.
Well, I think the reason ABC wanted it was because they really loved Idol the way it was. And so fortunately, you know, every year they make a few, something changes, you know, but something small, not the heart of American Idol. And fortunately, I think they've kept the heart of Idol intact. They haven't messed with the format. It's the familiar Idol. And a lot of people were saying, oh, they're going to make huge changes and it's going to be a whole different show. Well, they didn't want a whole different show. They wanted American Idol, and that's what they got.
And one more question about the judges. I hope if we've covered this elsewhere, please forgive me. But kind of interesting, especially with Katie and Luke, people who, a la The Voice, you know, are still in the middle of their careers. They're not sort of on the, dare I say, sort of retired front like Lionel Richie. But is there any talk about, you know, I mean, you kind of build this panel of familiarity, but you know in maybe a year and a half, 2 years, Katy Perry will want to go on tour for her next album, or she may need some time off. Is there any talk about how they plan to navigate that water? Because, you know, we had, like you said, Randy, Simon, Paula for 8 years. We got to know them, got to enjoy them. I mean, it seems like it's due for musical chairs sooner rather than later.
I think it's very possible. I felt that way with J-Lo. You know, they have recording careers. They need to be on the road. But, you know, the truth is, right, the way Idol is produced right now, like Keith Urban told me back when he was a judge, he said, I actually have plenty of time to go out on the road because there's only a few weeks of live shows where they have to be in L.A., you know, and they could actually, if they want, go back and forth during the week. They only need to be in L.A., you know, Sunday and Monday. That Keith said, I have plenty of time to record. I have plenty of time to go out on the road and do American Idol. And this is a shorter season now. You know, there's only 6 weeks of live shows. And everything we're seeing now, they've already done, you know. And they had time in between those cities where they were doing auditions and Hollywood Week. So I'm not sure, you know, that they're going to be rushing off. But I think at this point, you know, you can only think a year or so. I don't think they're thinking right now, 3 or 4 years from now, what'll we do? I think they're just thrilled with the judging panel they've got, and when it comes time, maybe they will have to, you know, replace one or two or three. I think it's inevitable if it has another long, long, long run, but it's also possible for those people to work, you know, and have their careers.
That's 2018 versus 2002. Multitasking. It's a different world.
Exactly.
All right, Fred, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time to talk to us about Idol so far. Have fun this season now that it's back, getting to know all the contestants going forward and writing about it on billboard.com. And we'll talk to you again soon about all things Idol.
Well, thanks, Gary. Thanks, Trevor. We'll be, you know, Billboard covers Idol and we'll be covering it just as much as ever.
And our thanks to Fred Bronson for being here on the Billboard Chartbeat podcast. Always fun to talk with Fred, somebody who's followed Idol, obviously, really since day one and knows the ins and outs of it so well. Obviously, having been on the show is always a nice perk and proving he's just an Idol savant.
I think you could maybe make the case, too, that if there was no Idol, there'd be no Glee, which was also on Fox at the time, and that's gone on to set the Hot 100 record for most Hot 100 hits by any act, the whole collective of different Glee stars over the years. 207
for now.
Until Drake.
And now you know Drake's coming for it.
But 207 hits for Glee, so the success that Fox was having with Idol in the mid-2000s had to inform Glee would come along, and record-breaking numbers for both of those shows over the years. Kind of take it for granted at this point, but one kind of led to the other.
Yeah, I mean, even with Glee, I mean, and a cappella groups and sort of Pitch Perfect, I mean, there really was a time where I mean, not just music, but sort of the practice of music and sort of the ins and outs of music really became very popular. I mean, just for young people all around. And of course, Idol definitely had a spearhead sort of kids getting reacquainted with and re-impressed with vocal ability and what people could do, you know, when they sing. So definitely a huge Kickstarter there.
And talking about Idol. And talking about YouTube, again, that was the same time when anyone could just sit in their bedroom and show off their vocal chops on YouTube, which people hadn't had that opportunity before. So it was just an entire decade where there were all of a sudden all these new avenues for people to put their voice out there. Just like podcasts today.
Look at that. We're a byproduct of American Idol. And we are round in third. We are heading home. We are only 10 songs away from the top of the countdown. Here we go to do that first half. I'm going to pass this over to my man Gary. Here he is breaking down numbers 10 through 6 of the top 40 songs on the Hot 100 by American Idols. Here we go.
I was blown away. What could I say? It all seemed to make sense. You're taking away everything. And I can't deal with that. But good things in life are hard to find. We'll blow it away, blow it away. Can we make this something grow? Well, I try to do it right this time around. And let's start over. I try to do it right this time around. It's not over.
10 through 6 on our countdown of the top 40 Billboard Hot 100 hits by American Idol finalists over the years. Number 10, fourth place finisher, again, in Idol's fifth season in 2006. Daughtry, Chris Daughtry, was actually after Idol that he formed the band. He turned down an offer to become the lead singer for the band Fuel, had the big hit Hemorrhage in My Hands, so he wanted to do his own band, formed Daughtry. This is Daughtry's biggest Hot 100 hit. It's their highest song here on this countdown. It's their highest Hot 100 peaking hit, number 4 in early 2007. The number 5 mainstream rock songs hit. It was top 20 on alternative songs, number 1 for 2 weeks on pop songs, number 1 for 9 weeks on adult pop songs. So he showed one of those idols, so sort of like Jennifer Hudson, that you didn't need to win Idol. You could still totally have a huge hit and at many different formats. So this is the biggest one from Daughtry. They just kicked off a new tour, so that's going through next month. They're still doing pretty well all these years later.
Yeah, and shout out to Jennifer Hudson, who unfortunately is not on this countdown, so I'll go ahead and sort of burst that bubble for J-Hud fans, but she does have an Oscar, so, you know, who's the real winner? You decide.
Number 9, Before He Cheats, Carrie Underwood's highest hit on this countdown, 5 week number 1 on Hot Country Songs in 2006. The song had a really long life after hitting number 1 on Hot Country Songs, then crossed to the top 10 on the pop and adult charts, and kept it going on the Hot 100, wound up peaking at number 8 later in June 2007. So all total, it was a 64-week Hot 100 run. Only 9 songs in the Hot 100's entire history have ever charted for at least that long. So just a complete crossover hit for Carrie Underwood, and really set up the two sides that we've come to know from Carrie Underwood, because her first two country hits, one was Jesus Take the Wheel, which we heard earlier in the countdown back at number 31, and this song, the two sides right there, the ballads, and sort of the sassy, up-tempo song. She's pretty much kept that formula. It's been working for over a decade now for Carrie Underwood. Number 8 on the countdown, My Life Would Suck Without You, Kelly Clarkson, became her second of 3 Hot 100 number 1 she's had so far. It was in 2009. So you mentioned before, Trevor, a moment like this made that 52-1 jump, beating the Beatles, and then it would get passed for the record for biggest jump to number 1 on the Hot 100. This song is currently the record breaker. It'll be pretty tough to break. It still could happen, but it went 97-1. It's the biggest jump ever on the Hot 100, biggest jump to number 1. So yeah, unless something goes 98, 99, or 100-1, Kelly's got the record. I always think this song, I don't put any qualifiers on this, I think this is one of the catchiest pop songs ever in the entire rock era. Max Martin, Kelly were two of the co-writers. A little bit of a dark backstory to it. Dr. Luke was one of the co-writers as well, and Kelly didn't want to work with him on this song. The label seems that they kind of made her work with him, and everything we know now with what came up with Kesha in recent years. But Kelly was at the forefront of saying she thought he was demeaning. She thought he was a liar. She didn't want to work with him. So as catchy, as fun as that song is, it's, when you dig into the story, it's not all sunny. Exactly. Number 7, let's move on. Because of You is a number 7 hit for Kelly in 2005 on the Hot 100 from Breakaway. Another song that was just huge on radio. 4 weeks at number 1 on pop songs. Then a number 2 Hot Country Songs hit in 2007 by Reba McEntire with Kelly. And for younger people listening, Reba McEntire is a very long time, huge country music icon. She's not just the colonel for KFC. Kelly wrote this song with David Hodges and Ben Moody, now both formerly of Evanescence, about her father. She'd later write again, Piece by Piece, and big hit in 2016. So, but I'm just full of all these happy Kelly Clarkson details in this part of the content. She's honest, if nothing else.
And you know, it's funny because people probably would not sort of think that Kelly Clarkson's had a troubled life, and obviously maybe it hasn't been the same physical sufferings or poverty or some of those things that other stars have gone through, but I mean, there seems to be there's a real emotional struggles and turmoil and trouble, and so she's been able to channel that into some very powerful and big songs.
Yeah, she's coming up later on in the countdown here. We'll hear from Kelly. Number six, highest rock song on this countdown, Phillip Phillips, winner of season 11 of Idol in 2012, hit the Hot 100's top 10 in August 2012 when it was used as the theme for NBC's coverage of women's gymnastics during the Olympics in London that year. Dipped a little bit and then came back to the top 10, became a number six hit in early 2013. Interesting that it was a six-week number one on the adult alternative songs chart. So, again, like Daughtry, you'd think maybe that rock radio would be a little skittish about Idol because it's so pop-focused, but they loved the song. 6 weeks at number one. It also, I think, showed that Idol can change with the times. I think you think of an Idol winner's song, you think a big ballad, you think a moment like this, you think This Is the Night, Clay Aiken, but this song is it's Mumford and Sons, it's Lumineers, it's that early 2010s stomp and clap folk rock. So no problem. It was an Idol artist that totally fit in for that sound, and really, again, if nothing else, showed Idol can change with the times. When you're on that long and you're that popular for that long, probably there's going to be some element of adapting to the times, and it's exactly what it did. All right, before we continue on, we've heard from Lionel Richie on the countdown here, who was on the podcast with Trevor a couple years ago. Luke Bryan, one of the other new judges this season on Idol, he was on the podcast last year. Jim Asker, our country chart manager in Nashville, was speaking with Luke, and Luke said something sort of like Lionel before about career longevity. Luke was saying something that, again, any Idol contestant would be served really well to think about, that when you come in for that Idol audition, that's just the beginning of your career. There's just the real work really is ahead. So it's kind of what Luke talked about on the Billboard Sharpie podcast last year.
Well, I mean, gosh, I mean, when you hear accolades and achievements, what it took to get to this point just immediately flashes in front of your eyes. I mean, from the point to where it starts with moving to Nashville, but then when you meet, you know, when you're in the room with the president of Capitol Records and you've got to prove it to him that you're gonna be able to pull this career off one day, and then to see all the amazing things that we've done, and then here, you know, here we arrive at Kill the Lights and six number one singles. I mean, it's we just set out to make the best music we can and have fun with it. But then, you know, when we, you know, this is just a testament to everybody really doing a good job at a lot of stuff.
Luke Bryan, the Billboard Sharpie podcast, doing a great job as one of the new judges on Idol this season. Good dancer, too.
Yeah, I think also one of the things that between just not just Idol, I think The Voice as well, you really get a good sense of personality from the country guys, who I don't think people may think of them as kind of just, you know, plain kind of, you know, not having the same kind of personality or outlandishness as other
maybe more sort of humble
pop stars,
yeah,
or just
withdrawn.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously Blake Shelton on The Voice is, you know, a huge standout, very funny. I mean, Luke is, you know, he's a gentleman type, but you know, he's got a good personality, good fun sense to him.
He was talking some fishing term to one of the young contestants. Katy Perry had no idea what he was talking about, so he's not hiding any. He's talking deep fishing Southern terms, and then Lionel Richie was saying he's from Alabama too. So there's a lot of different backgrounds that they're bringing to it.
Well, it's kind of fair, I think, if you know, if they don't know what wig is, then you know everyone's got some new vocab they're gonna leave the panel with.
Did you have to Google wig, or do you know what it was?
I had to cheat.
Yeah, I don't feel as bad though. I don't feel as old.
That's not that. You still got a lot more things to cover on that front.
You're at the Google age, Trevor. You have to Google a term.
Well, I Twittered it, but you know.
All right, let's move on to the top five. We're getting almost to number one on our countdown of the 40 biggest Billboard Hot 100 hits by American Idol graduates.
Here I am once again. I'm torn in
All right, and kicking us off in the 5-2 segment, first song you guys heard was Breakaway by Kelly Clarkson, a number 6 hit back at towards the end of 2004. Now, Gary said a little earlier when he was talking about Miss Independent, how he kind of put a stake in that as Kelly Clarkson's, you know, sort of a very important record in her discography, in the sense that it was not, you know, an idol coronation single. It was her first fully-fledged Kelly Clarkson single. I'm gonna take that, and I'm gonna actually yank that away from Miss Independent. I'm gonna say Breakaway is probably the most important record in Kelly Clarkson's collection, simply because Miss Independent, obviously a strong hit off of the Thankful album, top 10 hit on the Hot 100, gets Gary mentioned earlier, but the follow-up singles really didn't do very much. I mean, there was Low, which came after that. There was The Trouble with Love Is, which was kind of tied to Love, actually. None of those making inroads really nearly to the same degree. So I think people were really worried about where Kelly Clarkson would go. Was she really just a one, sort of a one-song wonder with Miss Independent, which obviously was the most up-tempo sort of...
Well, two songs at that point, because A Moment Like This was a legitimate hit on radio. It's still a pretty big hit on its own. You're going to take this title away from me that quickly.
Well, I mean, but even Kelly Clarkson has kind of said that she knew it went to number one because of the show, and people had tied it to the show. So there was always sort of a sentiment with that song that sort of, I think, gives its own category versus Miss Independent, which had to compete with, you know, records by Britney Spears and by Usher and by just any sort of pop song out there. So, you know, when it's time for the sophomore album to come out, they do actually kind of an old tried and true strategy. Even though Breakaway becomes the title track to Kelly Clarkson's second album, it actually was released first as a single from the soundtrack to the Princess Diaries 2 film, which was sort of a nice tester for Kelly to see, you know, what the response was going to be. It seems like it actually really was not expected to be as big a hit as it became. I mean, a top 10 hit on the chart, co-written by Avril Lavigne,
right?
So that definitely helps. Avril, if you've forgotten, was really huge in 2002, 2003. So, I mean, really one of the hot songwriters of this moment. And for the song to go back into the top 10 really gave Kelly Clarkson some more legs, and it leads into what becomes, I think, still an unexpected smash sophomore album that just, I mean, had dwarfed what her first album did, and that is really what proved that Kelly Clarkson was a bona fide force.
Well, I'll give you that it took her to a whole other level, and obviously all the follow-up hits that Thankful didn't have, but let's not totally discount what Miss Independent did. Maybe if that doesn't come along, maybe we don't get to Breakaway. So
I'm not saying Miss Independent is nothing. I'm just saying if I had to pin one song as like the song that made or broke Kelly Clarkson's career, it's going to be Breakaway.
I think we can both be right. Doesn't have to be that I'm wrong and you're right. We can both have levels of correctness here.
I'm gonna put my flag here. You can put yours where you like it, and you know.
I like your little look. Kelly said this. You suddenly put Kelly on your side, so I can't win this one.
And speaking of Breakaway, right above that, number 4, the third single off that album, the song Behind These Hazel Eyes, a massive hit in the summer of 2005, also getting to number 6 on the Hot 100. Interestingly enough, and this is something that we probably would have never been able to bring up, if Gary had not helped us out, Gary and our friend Rihanna had not helped us out just a few months back. So the song sort of proves the longevity of Kelly Clarkson. The song was a top 10 hit on the Hot 100 for 15 weeks, but never had sort of the massive one-week momentum to get it into the top 5. Peaks at number 6, hangs out in that 6 to 10 spot for 15 weeks, which is actually the longest that any song had held out in the top 10 and not hit the top 5 until our friend Rihanna came along with the song Needed Me at the end of 2016. So just kind of goes to show that this was a consistent hit, you know, 15 weeks. So we're talking 4 months basically in the top 10. So always kind of there. And I mean, this is really the third straight top 10 hit. We'll get to the second one in a little bit. From Breakaway, we know Because of You is going to come later and make it 4 top 10s in a row. So even though there was not a number one song from Breakaway, I mean, 2005 in a lot of ways was really Kelly Clarkson's year.
Did you just say that Behind These Hazel Eyes was really proved the lunch? Did you just take the honor that you just gave to Breakaway? Did that last for about 45 seconds?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it. What did I say? In terms of the career, it's Breakaway. I'm saying there is a huge amount of longevity behind these Hazel Eyes. It wasn't just sort of a 3 week top tenner off the strength of her first couple songs. It was a really legit hit in its own right.
These are all good problems to have, by the way, for arguing that there's a bunch of different songs that took her to different levels in her career. That's what you want to be having. We agree on that, right? Let's agree on something.
We can agree on that. Right. And number three was like a break from the Clarkson soundtrack and move into the song No Air by Jordan Sparks and Chris Brown, which, fittingly, number three on this countdown, also a number three hit on the Hot 100 back in 2008. Earlier when we were talking about Jordan Sparks, we were talking about the song Tattoo. I said, you know, it's kind of interesting that for the song that was her coronation single not to go to number one. I'm sure probably had the Idol producers and sort of Idol watchers worried that was the show about to lose its magic, and were the superstars really not going to relate in this environment, you know, that we were moving into. And I think to sort of counter that point, you know, Jordan Sparks with this song probably better than anybody proved that she could sort of hop right in and ride that wave. I mean, she did a duet with Chris Brown, who obviously is a massive star, pop R&B star at this time. The songs With You had been huge hits. Forever is coming out pretty soon. I mean, he had Kiss Kiss. He'd already had Run It. So really one of the newest faces on R&B, but also one of the most successful faces. And, you know, something that we've kind of seen on this countdown going through, a lot of these songs are just idols by themselves. Very few duets, especially this early part, very few collaborations. So for Jordan Sparks not only to do just this R&B pop song, but able to show that she can do it with another hit maker at that moment,
right.
I mean, that's a huge step in her career, and obviously it paid off. Huge hit for her highest peaking hit on the Hot 100 and number three overall on this countdown, so a big thing for her.
Should we give away the official spoiler? This is the highest song on the countdown by someone not named Kelly Clarkson.
Well, luckily there's only two spots left, so it's not probably not too hard to guess who would be in those top two spots, and I'm pretty sure as many Idol fans have been counting down with us, they know what two songs might be coming up. I guess the only question is, well, what order? And if you were paying attention, you would have realized that at number two, you heard the song Stronger, parentheses, What Doesn't Kill You, once again, our friend Kelly Clarkson. This song, in my mind, a big return for Kelly. Her third and most recent number one hit on the Hot 100, and actually her first song to spend more than 2 weeks at number one. It actually has 3 weeks at number one, so her longest number one to date. And a nice form for her in particular. It helps the album set up very, very well. I mean, this is also a period where the past year has been dominated by Adele in terms of female pop vocals. So for Kelly Clarkson to sort of get what a perfect storm at this time when it was huge at radio, selling very well, that just came together in a great way for her that she hadn't had a number one hit in about 3 years. And so this fifth album just bringing home the goods. Also bringing home the goods on the Grammy stage, the album wins Best Pop Vocal Album, so her first Grammy Award since the Breakaway era back in 2005-2006. So all things coming together for Kelly Clarkson nearly a decade after she first won that American Idol title.
Yeah, that's what stands out to me, that span of number ones, I think, is really in some ways the most important stat you can put on an artist's career. Do they have that longevity career-wise? This, as you just said, was about almost 10 years after a moment like this went to number one. So you know, a decade in pop music is really more than most artists ever get. So to still be going to number one 10 years later, that's an artist starting now. It's, you know, Cardi B 10 years from now. Is she going to have number ones? We'll find out. But shows you just,
we're going to hope.
That just shows you how fickle pop audiences can be. So for Kelly to do that just shows that she was a pretty good choice for the first American Idol.
Well, and also, I mean, and to that point, I will say it's also almost that much more interesting when there are ebbs and flows. I think there are periods where a lot of people, fans and critics and everybody thought maybe this will be the end of Kelly Clarkson. And it feels like maybe if she's down for, you know, 6, 8, 9 months, that next album puts her right back on top. So, you know, of course, there have been people like, say, Rihanna's who have sort of kept that mantle all the way across. But for Kelly Clarkson to dip and recover, I mean, that's a true superstar right there. And the time has come. You've stayed with us from 40 all the way to number two. We have just one song left. Three guesses, half a guess really, on what song it is. It is Kelly Clarkson's biggest hit and a song that I think probably her best known cut in all of pop culture. The Grammy winning got Kelly Clarkson her very first Grammy Award, the first Grammy Award for any song in the Idol franchise, and a song that Billboard ranked as having the greatest chorus of the 21st century. We've set it up enough. Here it is. And as a bonus, once we hear what the song is, we're actually going to take it to our interview with Kelly Clarkson that we had last year on the podcast, talking about Idol more than 15 years after she had become its first ever champion. So here we go, Kelly Clarkson's biggest hit and the woman herself. Let's hear it.
Here's the thing, we started out friends. It was cool, but it was all pretend. Yeah, yeah, since you've been gone.
It really worked out for me. I'm not going to lie, y'all. I mean, honestly, I remember I was so exhausted. Like, they just, you know, that show got massively popular within, like, the last 3 weeks of it. And I just remember, I mean, I never won, you know, anything like that. Like, I just never thought that would happen. And then it happened. And then you're just like, wow, I'm like that person in the story. That's really weird. So, I mean, honestly, it sounds cheesy, but that night changed my life.
So you didn't know at that time that basically you and everyone from the beginning were basically changing TV. Every show now has three judges and people performing. You really didn't know. You had no idea that you were kind of changing pop culture.
Yeah, I don't think anyone knew, man. Even all of us, like, we, you know, it was like camp and, you know, all. And it's funny because for 15 years now, I still run in the same crew that did Idol, you know. Same people work on The Voice, same people work on, you know, American Music Awards, the Grammys. Like, that's all the same kind of crew that kind of rotates between all these, you know, big things. And it's cool because, like, I've kind of grown up with them, you know, since 19 auditioning for that show. So, no, nobody had a clue that it was, you know, going to do anything. We were just hoping to pay our bills. So, like...
Were you ever nervous performing? Was it just fun? Again, did you not know how many people were really watching? Did it get easier each week? Because you guys were the test case. You were the first season.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been that kid. Like, I mean, I've been singing since, you know, I was younger and always in musical theater or operas or, you know, some form of performance. So I've always been the person that I don't really get nervous because, and I don't feel pressure because there's more or less people, like, because I do the same performance if it was five people, 500, 5,000, you know, I don't really care about the amount of people watching. I just want to do my best each time just because I'm more critical of myself than anyone will ever be. So, you know, it's always me kind of judging myself. So I've never been nervous. I feel like I, you know, rehearse enough and sometimes you nail it and sometimes you don't. And sometimes you do something different and it was unexpected, but you go with it. But I don't know. I've just never been a nervous person on stage.
Do you ever watch the old audition videos or some of the early videos from that season and look back and that was me at 19?
So annoyed by myself. No, I can't. I saw one interview and I was so annoyed with myself that I was like, oh, I should never do this. It was like, I found all these discs that they gave me, whenever I won, they gave us, I don't know if they gave everyone, I assume they did, the whole season, like, on these DVDs. And I tried to watch it when it had been, like, I don't know, like, 8 years since I had won, and we had found it while moving. And I was like, oh, my God, we should watch this. And I was so annoyed by myself, I didn't watch.
You didn't want to see the high note on Natural Woman? We all remember that.
Oh, no, I didn't even get to that part. I couldn't even take the interview, or them, like, you know, us at the house, like, I don't know. You know how you annoy yourself or, like, you hate your voice, like your talking voice?
Yeah.
I hate my talking voice. I'm all right with my singing voice, but, man, my talking voice, it's like I don't even leave voicemails because I'm like, no.
What do you think really connected from the beginning, Kelly? Was it just really as simple as kind of the motto of the show that, you know, anyone could win? It is sort of everyone found someone that they saw something in themselves and in contestants that they connected with. Is it really as simple as that, along with all the talented people who have been on the show over the years?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I do think it kind of just boils down to, like, this is a country where you can come from nothing and achieve greatness. Like, and I think, you know, a lot of us, especially a lot of the contestants on my season, you know, we weren't rich kids. There might have been a couple, but, like, we weren't, for the most part, we weren't rich kids. We were all kids at camp and just trying to, you know, fulfill a dream that many of us have in the world, not only America. So, but I think, you know, America kind of took hold of, like, first of all, who doesn't love a talent show? That's why they're so popular in, like, high schools and kid things, like, everything. Like, who doesn't love that and love to be entertained? And then you also get to, like, go along this journey with someone on TV that you're watching, and you feel like you're a part of it with them. So I feel like a lot of people have always told me that. They've always connected with me, not even just the singing or my records, but they just feel like they got to watch me, you know, grow up with them, like, on TV, like, in their house every week. So, I mean, it's a very powerful thing.
There it is, the biggest hit by any American Idol on the Billboard Hot 100, Kelly Clarkson, Since You've Been Gone. Great to hear from Kelly as well when she was on the podcast last year. And chart fans will probably know this and notice, and number two on this countdown was Stronger But Doesn't Kill You. It was a number one hit. And number one on this countdown is Since You've Been Gone. It was a number two hit on the Hot 100. So,
pop quiz, Gary.
How does that happen?
What? No. Oh. What was the mighty song that had actually blocked Since You've Been Gone from number one? Candy Shop.
Yeah.
It's a 50 Cent song, Candy Shop throwback.
All right. So how Kelly Clarkson is number one with a song that was number two over a song that was number one. It's based on our formula of Hot 100 performance. So weeks in the top 10, weeks on the Hot 100 more can get you higher on an all-time recap. So that's what does it. That's a great choice for number one, the way things worked out.
Yeah, I was going to say sometimes, you know, it sort of what is biggest in terms of the chart versus what's biggest in terms of sort of pop culture memory don't line up very well. But this is one of the great examples where, yeah, if it had been Stronger over Since You've Been Gone, it would have felt a little more like, just Since You've Been Gone has just aged well. I think it brought in a whole new generation of Kelly Clarkson fans. And really, you know, if you had missed Miss Independent, which I guess you kind of could have, I mean, this is a song that you definitely, like, did not miss and really introduced Kelly, I think, to that pop rock audience, that sound that she wanted to gravitate towards. And we just see how massive it's become ever since.
And talking about 50 Cent at number one, this song has been credited in a lot of writing, a lot of analysis by different people, that this song really brought back pop music in a big way in the 2000s. It had been so hip-hop for so many years. And then you got Kelly, you got Taylor Swift would come along the next year, Lady Gaga, Rihanna was just starting at this point. So this was kind of at the forefront of pop music, power pop like that, making its comeback.
So who would have known, you know, way back when American Idol started, the subtitle, you know, the search for a superstar, that they absolutely landed on the very first try. Kelly Clarkson bringing us home.
All right, there it is, our countdown of the top 40 Billboard Hot 100 hits by American Idols. Also cool, hearing from Lionel Richie, hearing from Luke Bryan, the one judge we didn't hear from on this podcast, Katy Perry. But I don't know if you noticed, Trevor, and it was the second episode, there was a contestant this year. His name is Trevor Holmes, country artist.
Like me, he's also a dreamboat.
That's what Katy Perry said, some throwaway comment that she can't right. possibly...
She absolutely right. Let him know. DM's open.
All right. There it is for this week. Idol is back, so it's fun counting down all those songs the last couple weeks. Another countdown is up ahead next week before we get back to regular format. We're doing one more next week. Going to go back to 1996, the top 20 Billboard Hot 100 hits 22 years ago. And a special guest we're going to talk to, it's actually someone I've wanted on this podcast since I started it a couple years ago. Really excited to talk to that person. I'm not going to say anything more about it, but it's coming up next week.
Okay, so stay tuned for Gary's all-star guest, all-star mystery guest.
You go talk to Katy Perry. I'll work on that.
And also, of course, don't worry, we'll keep an eye on what's going on in the present. If any shakeups happen on the Billboard's Top 100's Top 10, we'll of course have the rundown. Mark your calendars for an 8th week at number 1 for Drake. And we'll see if Bebe Rexha, if Maren Morris, if any of the up-and-comers can make a challenge for the almighty Six God at the number 1 spot.
We did so much Idol the last couple weeks. Are there any Idol songs we missed that we should close with? Should we reverse things and go from Kelly to Justin? Should we play a Justin Guarini song?
How about we go Justin to Jennifer, as in Jennifer Hudson, who is regrettably not on this countdown list, but obviously one of the most famous idols to come out there. I mean, the only idol with an Oscar, so there's something to be said with that. So we'll flash back to J-Hud's first solo single off the Grammy Award-winning Jennifer Hudson album. This is Spotlight.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.